we have this in Hebrews brought out. It's the key, I think, to this whole matter. It says in verse 27 of Hebrews 11, by faith he, that's Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Isn't that the eye of faith? He saw by faith God and his authority. And he willingly submitted to that authority because he saw the greatness and the majesty, it was brought out earlier, of God. And this is the key to any Israelite that genuinely followed the Lord, is they saw by faith him that is invisible. And it's true for us today. The Lord Jesus is not physically here. We see by faith him who is invisible to our, to the natural eye. And so we need to really come to grips with this. Do we live in the good of this, of the invisible God, who is really the only image we have was the person who came here, the Lord Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, but now he's in the glory.
And if we don't take a hold of that line of faith, we will turn to rely on the flesh. And that's what Elimelech have done. Not only that he did not live up to his name, that God is my king, he thought there is a way around it where I could get my sustenance. And his place of leadership as the head of that house have ruined it for his whole house. He took his wife, he took his two sons, and he lost them there in the land of Moab. But the flesh is usually is sitting there waiting for our eyes to be taken off from the line of faith, from the Lord Jesus, so we could say, okay, well, let me figure out a way now to do it. It started with Lot's daughter. That's where Moab came from anyway. It started right there. Well, naturally speaking, what are we going to do? Let's rely on the flesh. And here, it's the same thing. Well, what are we going to do? There's no food in here. Let me go and rely on the flesh to support my need. But the Lord Jesus have said, the flesh profited nothing. And that is absolutely true. Elimelech, by relying on the flesh, and Moab speaks of the lust of the flesh, the ease of the flesh, the pride of the flesh, it is all connected with Moab. And it profited nothing. And if anything that we would learn, here it is. You could have stayed in Bethlehem, as we have heard, and be a Boaz, or you could run to Moab and lose almost everything that you have.
He lost his life too. He lost his life.
The question is this, dear brethren, so let's apply it to us. It will help us a little bit. So, Brother Bill, you mentioned earlier that famine in the meeting. Could there be famine in the meeting? Absolutely. But should it be? No way. So what is, how do we as a company, like Boaz, when, you see when Naomi and Ruth went back to the land, if they didn't have someone like Boaz, they will still be in the good of the famine. He provided the field. He provided everything for Ruth, and she brought to her mother. And brethren, this is where I would like to give a word of encouragement. That although the number is few or many, the principle of the Lord says two or three, so we're thankful for that. But whether few or many, we have to be exercised before the Lord in a humble spirit, because it doesn't, it cannot be by the energy of the flesh. Then we lost the whole point. But in submissiveness to the authority of the Lord Jesus, in a humble spirit, that we might be able to be like Boaz, even in our local testimonies. I mean, sometimes you think, well, why is the young people leaving? Well, okay, well, you know what? Sometimes they're not mature. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's no spiritual maturity. But you know what will be said? Because they are not being fed. They're not being fed. So may the Lord help us. I just want to say it in passing, that we might be like Boaz. Humble men, coming before the Lord, submitting before his authority, having something to give to Ruth, having something to give Naomi. So that when we come together as saints, having something, not in a fleshly way, but as something we have obtained from the Lord, and give the people of God, so that there will no one, there will be no one that will claim there is a famine in that meeting. So it's a responsibility, and we thank God for it.
There is the sadness as you speak about famine, because here in Judges, Ruth, there is no king, and you have famine. But the sad thing is, today we have a key, and there is still famine. And that's the sad thing. Because the moral declension and all of those things, they're present today. But we have a king. They had no king. And so you would say there is no leadership, there is no authority. So you look, remember, no king, it meant no king to those who belong to God. Because we can say no king, oh, the people in the world, they have famine and so forth. But no, the famine was with the people of God. Now, I think we can put this all, what they were experiencing, I believe we can put it into one capsule. And that is what we found in chapter 17. And at the end, they did which was right in their own eyes. When I do what's right in my own eyes, famine is going to come in. Moral declension will come in. Physical and all of these things will come in. So I just thought, as John mentioned, that there may be famine in the meeting. You don't see and what have you. But when we look at the contrast, that there is presently a king, but we don't live under the authority of the king. And so therefore, we did do what is right in our own eyes.
Perhaps the most difficult way to understand how this applies to us with regards to this matter of idolatry, the desire of the heart, the vision of seeing him who is invisible, is not so much that we place, in some cases, it's we place things in that place, and we want to get to a certain place, and we want to be something in this world. That is one form of the idolatry that we're impacted by, but there's a more subtle form of idolatry, and that is a incorrect perception of God as he has revealed himself. And so the reasoning goes like this. Well, I am a Christian, or I'm a believer, and I've been raised in a Christian home, and I've been going to this testimony for all these years, but man, my life's in real mess. I've got all kinds of troubles. I'm physically not well. I can't meet my bills. I'm going through all of these difficult situations. And instead of turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, what is the lesson? Show me the way. Walk with me through this valley. We say, this isn't working, and so we do what's right in our own eyes. That's the more subtle kind of idolatry, where we have this vision of God that he is simply there to bless me. And that is preached on TV. It's preached on the radio that all God is there for is to bless me. And if I'm not experiencing the blessing, then I got to go somewhere else. We need to get back to the fact that if we're going to know who God is and submit to his authority, it is the God who has revealed himself in the scriptures, not a God after our own making, our own desire.